education. In 1839, at the unripe age of 22, the bearded and bespectacled gentleman that I knew from faded Victorian photographs had been taken on as assistant surgeon and botanist on a 4-year Royal Naval expedition to the Antarctic. The ship that took him to the unexplored ends of the earth was called HMS Erebus. The more I researched the journey, the more astonished I became that I'd previously known so little about it. For a sailing ship to have spent so long so far away from home, to have survived the treacheries of weather and icebergs, and to have returned to tell the tale, was the sort of extraordinary achievement that one would assume we'd still be celebrating. It was an epic success for HMS Erebus. Pride, however, came before a fall. In 1846, this same ship, along with her sister ship Terror and 129 men, vanished off the face of the earth whilst trying to find a way through the Northwest Passage. It was the greatest single loss of life in the entire history of British polar exploration. I wrote and delivered my talk on Hooker, but I couldn't get the adventures of Erebus out of my mind. They were still lurking there in the summer of 2014 when I spent 10 nights at the O2 Arena in Greenwich with a group of fellow geriatrics, including John Cleese, Terry Jones, Eric Idle and Terry Gilliam, but sadly not Graham Chapman, in a show called Monty Python Live, One Down, Five to Go. These were extraordinary shows in front of extraordinary audiences. But after I'd sold the last dead parrot and sung the last lumberjack song, I was left with a profound sense of anticlimax. How do you follow something like that? One thing was for sure, I couldn't go over the same ground again. Whatever I did next would have to be something completely different. 2 weeks later, I had my answer. On the evening news on the 9th of September, I saw an item that stopped me in my tracks. At a press conference in Ottawa, the Prime Minister of Canada announced to the world that a Canadian underwater archaeology team had discovered what they believed to be HMS Erebus, lost for almost 170 years, on the seabed, somewhere in the Arctic. Her hull was virtually intact, its contents preserved by the ice. From the moment I heard that, I knew there was a story to be told. Not just a story of life and death, but a story of life, death, and a sort of resurrection. What really happened to the Erebus? What was she like? What did she achieve? How did she survive so much, only to disappear so mysteriously? I'm not a naval historian, but I have a sense of history. I'm not a seafarer, but I'm drawn to the sea. With only the light of my own enthusiasm to guide me, I wondered where on earth I should start such an adventure. An obvious candidate was the institution that had been the prime mover of so many Arctic and Antarctic expeditions from the 1830s onwards, and one that I knew something about, having for 3 years been its president. So I headed to the Royal Geographical Society in Kensington and put to the head of Enterprises and Resources, Alistair MacLeod, the nature of my obsession and the presumption of my task. Any leads on HMS Erebus? Alistair furrowed his brow and thought for a bit. Erebus. Then his eyes lit up. Yes, he said triumphantly. Yes, of course. We've got Hooker's stockings. Actually, they had quite a bit more, but this was my first dip into the waters of maritime research, and ever since then I've regarded Hooker's stockings as a kind of spiritual talisman. They were nothing special, cream-coloured, knee-length, thickly knitted and rather crusty. But over the last year, as I've travelled the world in the company of Erebus and come close to overwhelming myself with books, letters, plans, drawings, photographs, maps, novels, diaries, captain's logs and stoker's journals and everything else about her, I thank Hooker's stockings for setting me off on this remarkable journey. Prologue. The Survivor. Wilmot and Crampton Bay, Nunavut, Canada, the 2nd of September 2014.